You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous, gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight, and if you are, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And, by the way, you need to know we do have a free weekly newsletter. No strings attached, truly, no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Just go over to my website and sign up for it, and then you will get all the inside scoop, the inside information, all right? Couple of things that are pretty big that we've been talking about and that are coming up have to do with some things happening here at the show. One is on March the 2nd, 2009. We're going to have a drawing. Everyone who is a subscriber to our members area is already in the drawing, all right, as long as you have your name in your profile. Now, if you have not put your name in your profile, you will not be included in the drawing, all right? I don't know how we could draw a blank piece of paper out and know who it belongs to. So anyway, that's going to happen on March the 2nd, and this is being sponsored by Expeditions TV. Expeditions TV is offering, or is what they're doing is they're giving us a hand-woven tapestry from Urcos Island in Peru. Now, this tapestry is a beautiful tapestry. You'll get to see it in just a moment. And when we go to break, during that break, you'll see Jerry Wills hold that tapestry up. You'll see it. It's valuable. And it's hand-woven, and it's yours if your name is the one drawn out of the box on March the 2nd. So if you're not a member, it's a good time to get in. If you are a member, you're already entered in the drawing. Just make sure your name is in your profile. All right? Another thing that's happening is on March the 29th. On March the 29th, we are planning to do Lord Willing and the Creek Don't Rise. And by the way, out here in Phoenix, Arizona, the creeks very seldom rise. Mainly they're just dust. I'll be leading a seminar called Gods in the Garden. Now, Gods in the Garden is based on my book and by the same title. That's on March the 29th. You can either attend live here in the Phoenix area, or you can attend live online. You will be able to watch it live online if you are registered for the seminar. It is, you have to have a password in order to be able to see online, all right, or to hear it. So if you want to attend the seminar, either come to Phoenix or you have to register for the seminar online. It will be televised live. Now, those two things are big things that are coming up, but each and every week we have just the, it's normal for us, but it's big stuff in the world of the paranormal, in the world of the strange and unexplained. And tonight is no different. Tonight you are going to be treated to something very special. At the opening of the show, you saw a photograph. You saw that the show was about UFOs in the skies over Phoenix. And you saw a little photograph of a UFO and an airplane. That was captured in the daylight hours live right here in Phoenix. And you're going to get to see a lot of video about all of that. We'll be back right after this.
UFOs,
ghosts,
extraterrestrial visitation,
Bigfoot,
anomalies on Mars,
and the moon,
and so much more. Read articles
from over 35 authors.
Reader stories.
Submit yours.
Audio archives.
The Kevin Smith Show.
Browse the forums.
All free to join.
AlienSeekerNews.com.
Ask yourself one question.
How in the world did I ever get along without it?
Let it go. when things don't move at my pace.
Don't be out of the loop. Sign up for the K-Files e-zine at kevinsmithshow.com.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are originating from the Phoenix, Arizona area. And I think those of you who have been listening to the show for quite some time know that. You're aware of that. And you may be saying to yourself, well, why bring it up then if everybody's already aware of it? Well, everyone isn't, because we have new listeners all the time. Here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, we have very frequent odd things in the sky. We have things that, since we don't know what they are, the only thing you can call them is unidentified flying objects or unidentified aerial phenomena. One of the things that is really interesting about the Phoenix, Arizona area is that we have here something called South Mountain. It is a mountain. It's a small range of small mountains here on the south side of Phoenix. And these mountains, this South Mountain range, is literally loaded, I mean loaded, with petroglyphs that have been chiseled into the rocks hundreds, perhaps thousands of years ago. No one really knows for sure who did it or when, but they show some very phenomenal things. One of the local guys here who has really, really studied these petroglyphs and also studied the history of South Mountain. He's dug into the history of South Mountain. He spent literally, tons of hours studying the history of South Mountain. His name is Jeff Woolwine. And Jeff is sort of the local expert on these petroglyphs. He has just released a new DVD. It's not for sale. And I'm going to share with you this evening that DVD. Those of you listening by radio will hear it. Those of you who are at my website and you're watching, you will see it. And I think he's really done a very good job with this DVD. I think you will agree. So I'm going to start it, and when it's over, we'll have a few minutes left, and we'll open the phone lines for you. Very interesting stuff. Good video, good images, very clear images of these petroglyphs and Jeff talking about what they are. One of the things you will see in this video is as he is talking, a UFO appears in the skies up above him while he's talking. Here's Jeff.
Thank you. 1929. He was in charge of making sure the landscape wasn't disturbed. He actually was friends with the Native Americans here. They respected Charles, they admired Charles, and they told Charles some of the secrets of South Mountain, which includes some of the gold tombs that's buried here within the mountains. Apparently, the real story of Phoenix, Arizona, not only the Ho'okam were here, which means the people who are gone, the people who are missing, the Ho'okam and the Mayans were here together. And in fact, the city of Phoenix was one time named the city of Chibola, the city of gold. There was gold here, plenty of gold, and the Mayans and the Ho'okam were here interacting with each other, and in fact, were sun worshippers. Now, this is some of the stuff that we won't find in the history books. Matter of fact, the archaeologist wants us to believe that the Ho'okam was just a simple pottery-making people that never went to war with anybody, but yet failed to explain some of the rock art that shows the Ho'okam shooting at things in the sky that aren't normal to you and me. From the Pimas, which means the people who are gone, the people who are missing, because we don't know what happened to these people. When the Pimas arrived here, they found an ancient adobe structures here, a highly advanced city. And in fact, not only the Ho'okam were here, but the Mayans were here also. I find Mayan art scattered throughout the rock art here. Now, when we look at the history, when we ask the Indians on the true nature of the city of Phoenix, they would tell you that this was one time, in the mountains of the Valley of the Sun, seven cities of gold. Now, this is something that we don't find in the history books here today. The archaeologist wants us to believe, well, the Ho'okam were just a simple, peace-loving people making pots, and all of a sudden they left because of drought. Well, if that's the case, then we could follow their footsteps, we could follow to the place where they went, out of Phoenix, to the place where they went, and find their bones. But yet, there's no trace of them. They actually up and disappeared. You know what? When me and you move, we take our belongings with us. But yet, the Ho'okam didn't. They left all their belongings here and vanished, mysteriously gone. But when you ask the natives here, they will say that the spirits of the mountains got uneasy. They were upset. And they, in fact, took these people away. You see, the Phoenix Lights holds the past here, and it's carved within the mountains here in the Valley of the Sun. So today we're going to take a trip up South Mountain, and we're going to take a look at some of these petroglyphs, and even a possible tomb that no one's really talking about. Let's get going. Thank you. throughout the landscape here on South Mountain, we can find evidence of a former civilization. Anywhere from big old adobe chunks here from adobe structures to pottery shards left by the Holocom. South Mountain, we can find evidence of the Holocom from some of their ovens that they left behind. And here you can see what looks to be like a chimney hole from the smoke to come out of. And this rock is interesting here. It's like they made it. It's right at the base of some petroglyphs.
Thank you.
this was told to Charles Holbrook by the Pimas. As a matter of fact, the Pimas consider themselves part of the ancestors to the Ho'okam. What they told Charles is roughly around 1,200 Hawaiians and the Ho'okam were here in the Valley of the Sun. There was sacrificing and idol worship going on here until one day the sun worship stopped. And some would say the spirits got uneasy and they got upset, and they in fact took these people away.
Thank you.
honor, the Parks and Recreation and the City of Phoenix decided to name this trail after him, called Holding Trail.
Thank you.
an altar. And you can see this big chunk of stone has been carved out for the altar. They used to purify themselves first before they sacrificed themselves to the altar. Now, if you look real closely, you can see a dragon. Here we got some petroglyphs here. Above, what looks like a coyote. You see, the petroglyphs on South Mountain are symbols of worship.
Thank you.
around throughout the landscapes here on South Mountain, and this is one of them. This could have been one of the spots where the Holocom took shelter.
Thank you.
here. This is lava stone up here. During the equinox and the solstice, the sun casts a shadow, and it creates a shadow effect. Now, when you look at this pendulum up here, if you examine this here, it doesn't look like much. But in fact, when the magic starts happening through the equinox and the solstice, this actually becomes an Indian profile base. Eventually, as time goes by, it produces a headdress. And as the shadow consists, as the shadow goes along, the shadow actually consumes this man, and he's actually flying in the light. As is to say, the Indian chief is taking him up into the light. As the shadow keeps going, it goes into a mountain formation. If you notice these cuts along here, these cuts here, this is perfectly cut. The Indians cut this on purpose. When the light and shadow effect starts to happen, it acts as a map to where some of the gold is. The shadow casts this way, creating the mountain valleys. You see, these cuts here in the rock is in fact mountain valleys. To reveal where some of the tomb lies.
Thank you.
sky while we're hiking on South Mountain, and what a thrill it was to be here as it was happening. We don't know what happened to it. It sat there, pinned it in the sky there. We filmed it for a little bit, and it seemed to disappear.
Thank you.
Holbrook went to the city of Phoenix and told them that there's a gold seeker up on South Mountain looking for the gold. He quickly told them that the gold seeker wasn't too far away, and Holbrook brought the city of Phoenix to this spot here, and they quickly noticed the Roman numerals in front of this site here. And in fact, this goes to a much greater map. You see, the Roman numerals is actually marking a spot for the tomb here on South Mountain. As you can see, the Roman numerals is in front of this opening here. And when you walk through here, see a flying cross here, petroglyph of a flying cross. You can see a petroglyph of a shaman, and he's holding hands with another guy as they're walking up to the tomb. When you look in here and to the possible entrance to this tomb here, you notice these big heavy stone slabs here. Now, at one time, these slabs were connected to this stone here, and something very powerful broke these stones up and pushed them to apparently close off the entrance to this tomb. Now, the good book tells us in Genesis 6 that giants walked the earth, and I find petroglyphs of what looked like giants that were here on South Mountain. Could this be part of their work?
Why I say that this could be pillars
that were erected up. I noticed this here. If you notice, this is very smooth. Okay? This was carved. This was carved out. All this stuff here has been carved out. And it's been, this chunk, this part of the pillar has been knocked out. It's been carved out, junked out. And here, in my opinion, this is some kind of art that the Holcomb or the Mayans erected and carved out, because this is too smooth. And to me, this is evidence that this is one time a sacred stone, and even possibly erected for a much bigger structure.
Right. My friend Jeff Woolline, and boy, I'll tell you what, that is the best look at South Mountain and the petroglyphs on South Mountain that I have seen. I mean, and Jeff did this really just with equipment that it's not television broadcast equipment. I think he did an amazing job. Jeff has the ability to go out there and climb all over South Mountain days at a time. Most of us go out, we do what climbing we can do in a day, and then that's it, because, I mean, you know, it's pretty tough. Jeff... I think this video was done, I think, every day for a whole week he was out there on the mountain. His 14-year-old son did a lot of the video work. That's who was holding the camera and shooting Jeff as he explained all those things. He's an amazing guy with some amazing information about South Mountain, and some people will hear his theory about the connection between those things we see in the sky and here in the Phoenix area and the petroglyphs. People will hear his theories about that and think, well, that's bunk. Well, in the absence of actual hard evidence, every theory is equally as good as any other theory. But I'll tell you something. I've seen some of those things in the sky here in the Phoenix area, and I've seen the shapes of some of those petroglyphs, and some of the things I've seen in the sky are the same as those shapes that are carved into those rocks. And some of our listeners have been out there with us. Walter Bosley went out with me out on South Mountain. He's seen, and you, well, if you're a member, you can get in and watch the video of that. But, you know, he talked about the things that we were seeing. Tom McCallum, one of our listeners and friend in Australia, came here and along with Jeff Woolline and myself, went up on South Mountain. And he saw many of these things for himself. And that video is, I think it's still available in our members area. In our members area, we have something called Video Galaxy. And in the Video Galaxy, you are able to watch videos. It doesn't. You don't have to pay anything extra to watch those videos. And I think that one from South Mountain with Tom McCallum is still there. But anyway, the point is, in this one, you get a whole lot better look at a whole lot more of South Mountain than any of those other videos that we have. Now, it's controversial. Some of what Jeff says is controversial. So what? If it weren't controversial, if it weren't out on the edge, it wouldn't have any possibility of expanding our knowledge about the things we're seeing there. And so I appreciate him for doing what he does. I appreciate him for putting this video together and for allowing us the opportunity to show it to you. Now, let me tell you this. I get email from people who, and I'm not criticizing email, I'm just explaining something. Please send me your email, no matter what you think about a guest here or there or whatever. But sometimes I get email and people will say, because the guest has presented something really controversial or has said something that maybe the person sending the email found offensive or whatever, and they say, well, this really hurts the credibility of your show. Well, I how? It doesn't hurt the credibility of the show because this show isn't promoting anybody's theories. It's not promoting any guest. What we do is the guest presents their information. They say it however they say it, and if anybody gets discredited, the guest discredits himself or herself. But the show, the purpose of the show is so that you get to hear them as they really are, and you get to hear their information as they really say it. Lots of talk shows, lots and lots of talk shows, are about the host, and it's about the host trying to prove something with the guest, or trying to prove the guest is right, or trying to prove the guest is wrong, and this theory is nonsense, and, you know, the host is the caped crusader. Not here. I'm too old, too tired, and I don't believe in that nonsense anyway. I believe you're smart enough when you look at evidence, or when you hear evidence, you're smart enough to make up your own mind about whether you think that evidence is credible or not, or whether you think that evidence is good evidence or not. But here, regardless of how you interpret the evidence, in this video, you got a good look at the evidence. And that's what's important. You had a good look at the evidence. So, and by that I mean the videography was, the quality of the video was good enough that you could see quite clearly all of those petroglyphs. You know, one of the things, and we'll open up the telephone line here in just a minute, because I really want to start kind of talking about this connection, possibly, between UFOs between the things, well, I guess we could say UFOs, and the ancient Mayan people, and of course you've seen here both Mayan art and Hohokam art depicting something happening in the skies. And we'll talk about that connection and what it might mean for us living in this present age in just a moment. But, you know, whenever you start looking at all of that stuff, all that art, all those petroglyphs out on South Mountain, in this video, you got to see something that I think is very important for you to see. You got to see the fact that there's a lot of it, and you got to see that there are places where, for whatever reason, the government, way out in the middle of the desert on a mountain, put a seal right in front of a cave where it looks like it's been filled in, where you can't get in there anymore. Now, when Walter Bosley and I went up there, we didn't go to that particular cave, but you've seen it in the video we did, that there was a little cave. And I went up in that little cave. I was a little nervous about that because we really do have rattlesnakes here. But I crawled up in it, and you could only go about somewhere between 8.5 to 10 feet. And then it was caved in. Rocks had either fallen in or had been placed there. But you could see through them, through the cracks. You could see that the cave went back further, and it went far enough back that I could not see the end of it back there. Jeff says there's 8 of those that he knows about on South Mountain. Well, I find it interesting that story that he told about the guy that went up on South Mountain many, many years ago with shovels, started digging a hole, and the park ranger, Holbert, walked up on him, made him fill the hole back in, told him, now get down off the mountain and don't come back. Then he went to the city council in Phoenix and told them about this incident, and he said, you know, this guy was not very far from one of the tombs. Well, just a short distance from where you saw Jeff standing with that shovel is the place where city engineers and the Army Corps of Engineers went up, sealed off a cave, and put the Army Corps of Engineers seal in the rock there. The question is, why would you do that? You saw the surroundings. You saw that the Army Corps of Engineers didn't do any building or improvement of any kind there, but they put their seal there. So the reason I bring all of that up is when you add it all together, Jeff may be on the right track here. Jeff may be on the right trail. That being that the Mayan and the Hohokam had inhabited that area. We know the Hohokam did. There's some artwork that looks like the artwork that you find on Mayan petroglyphs down in South America. And so he says that, the Native Americans who live in this area say that the Mayan used to come here on trading ventures, trading trips, and that there is a lot of treasure, there is a lot of gold, and that it's hidden away somewhere out in the South Mountain Range. Well, Jeff may be on the right track. Jeff, you know, I'm not saying that everything Jeff says is absolute gospel truth. I don't know. But it's interesting, isn't it? And you know, when you go out there and you find that Army Corps of Engineers seal in the stone, and you know the story behind how it got there, you really start to think, you know, Jeff may have this right, or at least very close to right. All right, well, we are a few minutes away from break, but I want to open up the telephone line, and I want you to be able to call in and tell us what you think about all of this, and I'll do that in just a moment. Let me plug the system up here. All right. I want you to be able to call in and tell me what you think about all of this. Now, not just what do you think about this video. I mean, the purpose of me showing you the video is so you could go to South Mountain. You hear us talk about it on this show all the time. I wanted you to go up there and see as much as you could possibly see. And the only way to do that, the best way to do that, was with Jeff's video. But now that you've been there, now that you've seen it, here's what I'd like for us to sort of delve into here a little bit. You know, the tribes, the Olmec, the Mayan, the Inca, and the Aztec all had their version of Quetzalcoatl. Different names with each tribe, but they all had their version of Quetzalcoatl. Now, Quetzalcoatl was supposed to have been a very tall reptile who stood upright, had the ability to speak, had the ability to fly. Sounds just too fantastic to be real. And he brought to the people, the ancient people there in South America, education. He brought to them astronomy, the education necessary for astronomy and the understanding of the movements of the stars and the planets. And then one day he departed. He flew away. But he said, I will return here someday. All right, now we're seeing lots, especially in South America and in Mexico. They are seeing these things in the sky. Some of them look like some type of vehicle. Some of them look like orbs, you know, great big spheres. Some of them look like strange shapes like you saw in this video. We see those around here. Now, what do you think? Do you think that maybe these ancient people had seen these things in the sky and maybe had contact with them, and maybe those myths about Quetzalcoatl and others of the pantheon of gods in the Mayan pantheon of gods, do you think maybe they were, in fact, extraterrestrials? What do you think about that? Now, you see, Jeff's been on the show many times, and what he says is this. He says, what do you do when you see a UFO? Well, what do? You grab your video camera or your cell phone camera or your digital camera, and you run out and you start trying to get pictures of it. And you record it either on video or in your digital camera, or maybe you're using a camera that has film, but you're trying to record the event photographically. And he said, well, you know, back then they didn't have video cameras. And these rocks were their video cameras. These rocks are where they recorded the strange events that were happening around them. Well, you know, that theory makes as much sense as any other theory about why all of these petroglyphs are out there. Look, let me tell you about some of these petroglyphs. Some of these petroglyphs, as Walter Bosley discovered, and as I discovered when we were out there, cannot be seen from the ground. you have to climb up to where they are to see them. We just the video that Walter and I did focused on some petroglyphs we found while climbing up to some that we could see from the ground. But we got onto a rock ledge that led into a little cave, and there were petroglyphs on that on the wall, the stone wall next to that rock ledge. Pretty dramatic, but you could not see them from the ground. There are others that are on the top of a rock, and you have to be on the top of the mountain looking down to see them. We'll talk more about that when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to open up the telephone lines for you because, as I said, I really would like to know, I'd like to hear from you what your thoughts are. I know what Jeff Woolwine thinks about these ancient petroglyphs. I know what he thinks about the connection between them and things that we see in the sky. But I want to go back to the Mayans, because you know the Mayans have a huge impact on us right now because of the Mayan calendar, and of course the Mayan calendar ends on December the 21st, 2012. Now, this is not, I'm not really delving into what do you think is going to happen on December the 21st, 2012. What I'm looking for here is, do you think that there is this all just mythological gibberish that the Mayans were talking about these gods and described at least one of their gods as a reptilian? We see petroglyphs now where out of these spiral portals are emerging these half-man, half-reptile-looking things in those petroglyphs. Do you think it really happened? Do you think it that maybe as we're approaching 2012 that some of these extraterrestrial or maybe they're interterrestrial, but whatever they are, that the Mayans saw, maybe they're returning. And some of you have given some thought to this, you really have considered it. And I'd like to know what you think about that. Now, the telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. And I will be your student this evening, all right? Your theory is as good as anybody else's theory because nobody knows for sure. I think Jeff has done a good job of providing us photographic documentation for why he has the theory that he does. But what about you? Quetzalcoatl was depicted and described as being a reptile, but he stood upright on 2 feet, 2 legs. Some people say, well, you know, that's just pure mythology. We know that no such thing exists. Well, I can't say that I ever saw one. That's true. I can't say that I have seen a reptilian, but I can say that it's hard for people to imagine what they haven't seen. Although, when you're talking about the animal kingdom, I mean, we can imagine a man with a lion's head, even though we've never seen one. I understand that. But do you think that when the Mayans, the Olmec, the Aztec, the Incas, when they talk about this reptilian who was very tall and very powerful, who could speak their language, talk to them, and teach them, do you think they were making it up, or do you think they were correct, that they were telling the truth? Now, if you think they were telling the truth, then, you know, that means that you give some credence to the prophecies that they wrote about the end of time. Now, let me just check the phones. Yep, the phone is working. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. Their prophecy says that they believed that the era in which we live today would come to an end, and according to their calendar, it would come to an end on December the 21st, 2012. So let me go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Whoop, I guess you're not. Let's try this line. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hey. Bravo. I tell you, there's be hard stretch to for me to name a documentary that I've seen that hosted as many anomalies as that, like petroglyphs and, you know, and flat, honest out narrator than what that was.
He did a good job with that, didn't he?
Give him two thumbs up on that. That was very good.
Yeah, he did a good job with that. And, hey, his 14-year-old son did most of the video work.
It's either a thing for our technology, or it says a lot for, you know, what they did. I don't know which.
Well, listen, I've been out on South Mountain several times now, and some of the places where in the video where you're looking way down on Jeff as he's walking, well, I've been right there, and I've been up on those cliffs, and I'm telling you, that 14-year-old guy was standing up on a cliff, way, way up, looking down on his dad with the camera. That took some guts and some talent.
That's true, watching some of them videos where he talked at. The cameraman had to be in some pretty perilous positions to get to that.
Yeah. Pardon me. So what do you think about this, you know, these petroglyphs left by, you know, Mayans and left by Hohokam Indians? Were they really seeing this stuff, or is this their imagination?
Well, I get, you know, the answer, I guess, to that is yes, because today people are still claiming on seeing certain things. That's why I was kind of wondering him. You know, he talked about, you know, where at a certain time he would see and it would show exactly where the gold was. You know, I don't know how he would keep himself from trying to get in there one way or another. Plus, also at a certain time that some creature would appear, you know, here at this spot on a certain day. You know, how he could keep himself away from there. And not photograph that and see that kind of stuff.
Well, actually,
about it.
Actually, he has been on the mountain when they emerge from one of the portals. And what he tells me is that, you know, you don't know where to look. You don't know what to be looking at what time of day. And then you see it start to happen. He said, man, by the time I get my camera turned on, and pointed at it, it's already emerged. But he gets video of them as they're leaving the mountain, coming up off of the mountain. And he's also had some video of them as they return to the mountain and just disappear into the rock.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, I also find, like, that one showed porthole, and it had, like, pretty much looked like an alligator. You know, and I kind of guess my reptoids theory kind of something there on what about that.
Yeah, now you see, about it. Now that one actually looks like an alligator or a crocodile or something like that, or a big lizard, okay?
Yeah.
But there are others where it looks like a man, except his torso is like a lizard. It's kind of bulbed out like a lizard. But the rest of it looks like a man, and it shows them emerging out too. If you go back and look at that video again, it's in our members area. Take a good look at what you just described. You have the spiral on the left, indicating the portal. You have that big lizard on the right that you're talking about. Between them, if you look carefully, you'll see a very faint, almost indistinguishable lizard identical to the one that you're talking about. And it's as if it's just beginning to emerge out of, it's beginning to fade in where you can see it. Or maybe it's beginning to fade out into the portal. But you go back and look at that, you can see it. Tom McCallum, when he came over and we went up on South Mountain with Jeff, got a lot of good photographs of that. But when you see these spirals like he's talking about, and you see a figure emerging out of them, or maybe going into them, you very often will see one that's fully emerged, and you can see it well, and then you see a real shadowy-looking one that you can just, it's like you're looking at a mist in the shape of something. And I got some of that in the video that Walter Bosley and I did as well. Hey, listen, thanks for the call, man. I got to run. All right. Tell you what, it's interesting stuff, and there's just no two ways about it. The telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. And we are sort of mentally examining this, what we have seen here with the petroglyphs, and we're talking about, you know, were these people actually seeing this stuff, or were they imagining it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, I had a couple questions for you.
All right.
Part there in that video, it showed the airliner go across the screen. Was this recorder on there, or do?
Yeah, and you know what? As a matter of fact, if that airplane was coming in for a landing, but in order to land at the airport, he should have gone right straight through where that UFO was. Instead, he turned.
Whatever that was, that UFO, whatever it is, it must be a safety hazard for that airliner. Remember when that jet down, or that 747 in the Hudson Valley had a couple of birds that went into the and he had to dip it into the river there?
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of safety hazard for that airliner. I was just curious if they normally come in that low or...
Well, he was headed toward Sky Harbor Airport, and Sky Harbor International Airport, that's the Phoenix Airport, and he normally should have gone right straight through where you saw that thing, that UFO. But he turned. And he turned back to the west. Instead of traveling on to the airport, he turned to the west.
Interesting stuff, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep up the good work. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. More with your telephone calls and your thoughts on this when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're discussing this evening the we've just seen some amazing video of some amazing petroglyphs. Now, you saw them. I mean, it's all kinds of a variety of things that are scratched on those rocks. You also got to see that there are remains of structures out there on South Mountain. You got to see the remains of where a little half-circular wall had been built up on a ledge, and you were kind of standing above it looking into it and then over the edge. These were some amazing people. You got to see an irrigation ditch that they had dug. Well, the question that I've got, though, these people, yes, in their day, compared to this day, yes, their technology was primitive compared to what's available to us. They didn't have computers, and they didn't have video cameras, but just because a group of people may be in possession of primitive technology does not mean these people are primitive. We need to understand that. We need to understand that the Mayans, for instance, though they didn't have video cameras, they didn't have computers as we have today, they understood things about the movement of the stars far more precise than what we have understood. And they were able to construct a calendar that is more precise than any calendar that we've ever used in known history. So just because they had primitive technology doesn't mean that they were primitive people. They were pretty sophisticated thinkers, actually. And that when you understand that, when you understand that they were able to do calculations that went in many places past a decimal, you're talking about people who are not primitive. They were able to do high math. They were able to do astronomy and do it so accurately that it surpasses most of the astronomy that was done up until right now. We're doing astronomy that's as accurate and maybe surpasses them. But up well into the 20th century, they were ahead. And so when you have people like that saying that they have seen this reptilian being who is bipedal, stands on 2 feet, very stocky, large creature, he's able to speak their language. He taught them astronomy. He taught them how to irrigate. He taught them all of the sciences and so forth. And they named him Quetzalcoatl. And they said that he flew away, but before he did, he told them that he would come back. Okay, well, who taught them, if that's not true, who taught them such high astronomy? If that's not true, who taught them such high mathematics that surpass? Listen, the Mayans' ability to do mathematics surpasses almost everybody listening to me. Now, that we're not stupid, but most of us don't do a lot of high mathematics. They could, and they didn't have computers. I've got a button right over here on my computer keyboard. If I need to do a calculation, I push that button and a calculator pops up on my screen and I can use that. They didn't have that. But they could do those calculations that I use the computer to do or that I use a calculator to do. Who taught them that? So what do you think? Telephone number 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. We've got time for one call. And I wish we could have gotten more calls in, but you know, I wanted you to see the video. I just got that video yesterday, and I wanted you to see it. I talked with Jeff. He said it was all right to share it with you, and I wanted you to see it. But what do you think? We talk about the Sumerians, and people say, well, you know, they believe that the Sumerians actually had contact with off-worlders, and that these off-worlders taught them their high astronomy and mathematics and so forth. What about over here on this side of the planet, the Mayans, and not only the Mayan, the Inca, the Aztec? What about them? They claim to have contact with off-worlders. Is it possible? Do you think it really, really happened? 623-237-3814 is the number. Don't forget, we have this drawing coming up, March the 2nd, 2009. If you are a subscriber to our members area, which improves all the time, if you're already a subscriber, if you subscribe before the drawing, then your name gets entered into the drawing, and you will get, if you win, you'll get this tapestry that you've seen on the show, this tapestry, hand-woven, Urcos Island in Peru, the descendants of the Mayan. And it's absolutely a beautiful tapestry. I've seen it, not just in the video. It's beautiful. Now, there is also a seminar coming up. Now, that seminar is on March the 29th. So March the 2nd, we have the drawing here on the live show. And March the 29th will be this seminar. Now, the seminar is about 3 hours long, and it is a lot of detail. I'm telling you, it's not religious. There's no theology in it. But what we're going to do is take a look at one of the ancient documents, Genesis, and we're going to look at it with zero theology and just look at the words that that document says about the origins of the universe, the origins of the earth, the origins of plant and animal life, and us. It says something really, really vastly different from what you've heard. I am quite aware of the fact that every time I talk about this, some people get upset, and I am aware of the fact that some people will fire off some pretty nasty email. But I didn't write Genesis. It's written with words. Words have definitions. It says what it says, whether that fits anybody's theology or not. It still says what it says. And I'm telling you, I could almost bet money you don't know what it says, even if you consider yourself a Bible student. It's not a matter of interpretation either. It's just a matter of taking off the theological sunshades that everybody wears and just let the document say what the document says, and it's better than any Star Wars or Star Trek movie you ever saw. Anyway, we'll do that on March the 29th. And very shortly, we'll be sending out information about how you can register for that. You'll be able to attend either in person here in the Phoenix area, or you'll be able to attend online. If you can't travel to Phoenix for the seminar, you will still be able to attend the live seminar. And we'll send you the details about that. Now, in the last week's issue of the K-Files e-zine, we put a link to some information about the seminar. Okay? And so just look in your K-Files e-zine, you click that link, and you can download a PDF file about it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, So long, everybody.